So hello and welcome to the first edition of In Their Shoes, and my name is Vanessa Coleman. My guest today is Prim. She's a very attractive young lady who I see on a regular basis in my local coffee shop, Bosca Nova, which incidentally, according to The Independent, was voted one of the best coffee shops in the country. And I can definitely second that. So welcome, Prim.
Thank you.
So tell me a bit about yourself, your background and about going to university and your thoughts as a young person, because it's a long, long time since I was your age.
Okay, well, I was born in London, but raised mostly in Bournemouth.
And how old are you now?
24, just.
Just 24, yeah.
I always enjoyed school, so thought I wanted to go on to uni. So when I finished my A-levels, I went to Bournemouth Arts Institute to do a foundation degree. And then I went to Norwich University of Art to do illustration, printmaking and book design. So that all went really well, mostly well. And then I graduated from there in 2013.
So did you have to have a student loan?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was all the normal things, but it was just, I think mine was the year or two before they increased, before the Conservatives increased the fees by
yeah,
like triple.
Yes.
So that was quite lucky for me.
Yeah.
So my debt now is probably considerably less than someone who's born the year or two after me.
So what happens to this debt? Does it add interest or does it just stay the same?
No, it just, as far as I'm aware, unless it's changed really recently, it just stays the same. You don't have to start paying it back until I think you're earning at least £15,500, which I'm not.
Yeah.
So at the moment, for me, it's dormant, but I am aiming to definitely start paying it back in the next 5 years.
So tell me, why are you in that case? Because I was surprised when we spoke the other day that you'd been to university.
Mm.
I mean, the coffee shop is great, but all that education and all that, surely you didn't go to university to think, hoo-hoo, I'm going to do all this and then I'm going to work in a coffee shop.
No, I don't think anyone really thinks like that. I think it really depends on the schooling you have and like not just your education but the self-esteem that you have. Like, for example, I left school and went to university mostly because for me there just seemed like no other option really. The school I went to was an all-girls grammar school. It was really academic, and even though I was always really creative, so I did quite averagely in most subjects, but the things I did really well in were art, textiles and English literature, and I really loved them, worked really hard. So it kind of seemed as though the only path for me was to go and do a creative degree, because they didn't really encourage leaving at 16.
Who's they?
Sorry, my school.
Yeah. What about your parents?
My parents are quite, as far as the people I went to school with and who I grew up with, they're quite unique and I really like it.
Why your parents are unique?
Because, like, a lot of the girls that I went to school with came from a lot of money. You know, their parents came from a lot of money. So it was quite like a segregated school, like everyone was very similar.
So are you saying your parents...
So my parents came from like hardly anything. Like my mum grew up on an estate in Wolverhampton and was like the oldest of six kids. And my dad's half Italian and grew up half in Bournemouth, half on a farm in Italy where he had to like do all the normal chores, like farm boy chores.
Mm.
And then they met at really young, like 20, and just both worked really, really hard to get out of the lifestyle that they had been brought up in. Not that it was bad, it's just they wanted something different for their children.
How have you got brothers and sisters?
I've got one sister, yeah.
And how old is she?
She is 21 in a few months' time.
So you're the oldest?
Yeah, so it's 3.5 years difference.
Mm.
So they were always really keen for me to go and do further education because it's the life that they wanted us to have.
Yeah.
And my dad really, really liked that. I was really creative because he, when he was my age, he was a commercial photographer in London working for like really big brands, big names, getting paid really, really well.
Mm.
So he saw like a lot of similarities in us, which he really liked. And although my mum's very different to me and my dad, she was encouraging as well.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we're all quite aware that there's not necessarily very many jobs in creative fields when you finish uni.
Yeah.
And if there are, the system as it is now is sort of, from what I've experienced anyway, is that you have to be able to work for free for quite a while to get yourself out there before anyone would even acknowledge your existence.
Well, ironically, after the day after I asked you for this interview, I see in The Independent on the 19th of August, the heading is, "Majority of UK graduates are being forced into non-graduate work, says study." And ironically, it does say that a lot of ex-students are working in coffee shops, bars, call centres, etc. Yeah.
It's definitely true.
Was there no opening for a job, or didn't you want to look for one? What happened when you left university?
So what I found at university was that, especially in the creative fields, you have to be really self-disciplined and almost be able to segregate yourself and be really self-motivated and put that before anything else. And I think it comes down to your personality. Like, I don't work that well by myself. I definitely work well in a team.
So you're a follower, not a leader?
Yeah. I'd say in the workplace, probably, yeah. And I didn't really find it that exciting to sort of move back into... The only way I would have been able to afford to do it is move straight back into my parents' home in Bournemouth, coming from Norwich, and then just draw and draw and draw and build up a portfolio and email people for ages to try and get any sort of paid work. And that could take, like, well over a few years.
Do you regret going to university?
No.
So, you see... Obviously, I'm a lot older than you, Prim, but I will tell you something that I've found throughout my life, that nothing is ever wasted. When I went to school, you know, I learned shorthand and typing, touch typing. So, of course, now writing my book, the touch typing was fantastic. And, you know, the fact that it's there within you. It's never lost. So, as I say, you're working in this coffee shop. Is that it then? Is that in 10 years you'll be in the coffee shop?
No,
How do you see things?
No, so things are going really well. Like, when I left uni, I was really daunted. I didn't have any money or any plan. Yeah. I just knew that I didn't want to live in a small town or city anymore because it was just too stifling. So I moved straight to London with no money. And
whereabouts in London did you live?
I lived in Forest Gate. It's just next to Stratford.
Oh, yes. I think that's East London.
Yeah. Zone 3 East London. Got a house share there with some friends from uni. And then luckily within my first 3 weeks, got a full-time job in retail. So that was enough money to live. But it was a really just quite a rubbish year. And I wasn't like progressing at all. Like, and more than that, I was just a bit unhappy. So I came back to Bournemouth to move back in with my parents just to be able to, like, get out my overdraft and get a little part-time job. And I sort of thought, like, I don't really think Bournemouth is that inspiring. So I thought, if I'm going to be back there and working...
Inspiring in what way?
Like, it's just quite small. There are a lot of people that are very similar and I don't really find it diverse enough.
Diverse enough.
Yeah. Mm. And I mean, not necessarily Boscombe and Pokesdown, but just Bournemouth in general.
Mm. What is it you're looking for?
Just to be around people from all different walks of life.
So really, I suppose London is the place.
Yeah, it is. However, it's very difficult to be happy there if you don't know where you're going and you don't have the money to help you buy the time to decide where you're going, which I didn't. So that's why I came back.
So you can't be happy if you don't know where you're going?
I think it's important for anyone at any age to have some sort of direction.
Yes.
Otherwise, I think you can become quite unhappy quite quickly. So came back to Bournemouth, to be able to sort it out.
Yeah, because really, you're rudderless.
Exactly.
You're at sea and, you know, if you've got to have a goal. You've got to be aiming for something always.
Exactly.
You know, for me personally, it was always the challenge of something difficult. I never chased the money. It was always I had to be doing something that I really liked. Otherwise, I can't function.
Yeah.
100%. I have to be happy. Yeah.
Definitely.
So you've been working at the coffee shop for how long?
For just over a year. Yeah, it started as just a 3-day a week helping out. And I was doing some volunteering at the time as well.
Volunteering, doing what?
Just... doing, like, assisting an art therapist at Lewis Manning Hospice.
Oh, yes.
So much older patients, pretty much between around 65 and 85, generally.
And how did you find that?
Okay, definitely a positive experience. Quite... quite like apparent about how important that kind of thing is.
Did it upset you being in a hospice?
It didn't until the end, when there was one really upsetting time. Basically, the hospice is great and the patients were lovely, and they really appreciated the help they were getting. But then I only helped one day a week. It was a full day, but it was like an arts and crafts day. So it was a mixture between patients that were sort of much more well and like in recovery from their...
It is still a hospice.
Yeah. And then there was the patients, it was mixed, it was half and half. And the other half was the patients that were still very unwell. And then towards the end of my time there, the head of the finances or whoever cut the funding so that the patients who required a trained nurse couldn't go anymore on a Tuesday. And they were heartbroken about it. Really, really upset.
Who are you talking about? The patients. The patients, yeah.
And they offered to pay out of their pensions so they could go and do arts and crafts with each other one day a week, because it was like their most fun day that they looked forward to. And I found that really shocking, because I don't think it's difficult to find enough money to pay a nurse for 6-hour shift a week. With all the money that the hospice, I think, would have been drawing in, they had people on salaries, they had loads of people with their own offices, their own computers, their PAs. And I just think, out of all that money and all that work, I couldn't fathom how they couldn't find the funding for one trained nurse to stay on for a short day every Tuesday, because so many of the patients, it was mental. They all were so upset, and they were offering, they worked all their lives, but they were still offering to pay her wages out of their pensions. And I just couldn't believe that.
Well, you know, I experienced something kind of similar, because, you know, my daughter Elizabeth goes to a daycare centre, and I'll never forget the day we went to some meeting a few years ago where there was talk of a closure of the daycare centre. And you imagine people in wheelchairs, some people couldn't hardly talk or do anything, and all these vulnerable people, and they all started crying. Oh, it was so terrible. Thank goodness at this particular daycare centre is still going, but these things mean so much to them. But of course, everything comes back to money, Prim. I think there's a lot said for that there seems to be a lot of management places, and then maybe not so much of the people that, you know, are on the ground, running. But I can only speak as I find, and unfortunately I don't know about, because I've always wanted to work on my own. So let me ask you, if you could wave a magic wand, if you could create your own fabulous job, what would it be?
I find these kind of questions really difficult to answer, because I only really find things really satisfying if I know I've built up and built up, and it hasn't been just happened. It has to be like worked for. I think in the future I'd really like to work for the NHS. I'd really like to do midwifery or nursing.
So it's out the window, all this.
I could wave a magic wand, I think I would like to be able to save up the finances straight away to be able to then go on and train to do that whenever I felt I was ready.
Yeah. So you're more for the caring profession?
Yeah, I think so. I think rather than being creative and doing drawing and printing and bookmaking and everything I had done was really good. But I struggled sort of mentally. I didn't feel very worthwhile, and I really struggled motivationally with that.
Yes. So really it is about self-worth and that feeling of satisfaction. I mean, just little things, because, you know, Elizabeth goes to the FAB group, which is physically handicapped and able-bodied, and the joy I had through doing some fundraising and seeing the look on their faces when you do something. The satisfaction is amazing. I think it really is. But I think when you're young, it's very difficult to think about vocational jobs, isn't it? You don't really know. I mean, I never went to university, you know. But I have to say one thing to you. Remember this. If you cannot see what you want, you can't attract it.
Yeah, definitely.
Without, you came here today and you had an address, you knew where you're going, so you're walking towards it. But if you have no direction, as I say, you're a bit rudderless in the coffee shop.
I'm really happy though where I am now, because it's gone from being like a fill-in, like a part-time fill-in, to somewhere where I feel very at home, very confident in my role, and I've been asked for more and more from me as part of my role there.
Yes.
And it's pretty much what I do now. And I'm really, like, proud to work there. It's an amazing company. Like, it's definitely more than just a coffee shop, to me.
Yes. Well, I would just say to the listeners, as I said to you, that the Cafe Bosca Nova, if I quote from The Independent, it says, "This," says Dale, "is one of coffee's best-kept secrets. Bosca Nova is fantastic." And Luke, who is one of your co-workers.
Yeah, he's the head barista.
Yeah, is the world's most curious barista, and Joel runs a fantastically open, inviting space. But it is a very creative atmosphere, isn't it, where you work?
Yeah.
It's very kind of arty and different and unique. So I suppose you feel at home there.
Yeah, yeah. But not right at the beginning. I was quite nervous, but I think once you've been there a while and you know you're working hard, then you definitely...
Yeah. Well, I know that when I had my coffee shop in Henley-on-Thames, I was very nervous because, quite frankly, I didn't know what the hell I was doing. But, you know, you learn as you go along. And, of course, my clientele then were the rich and famous. You know, I felt in awe of these people. But as time went on, I realised there was no difference between them and me except money. And it was the greatest learning curve I've ever had. It boosted my confidence because I was dealing with the public every day. And as I say, very well-known pop stars, celebrities. It was intriguing. As I say, I've always been fascinated by what people's lives are like. So as you know, my final question to you, Prim, is this. If there was a referendum tomorrow for in or out, or yes or no, of the EU, how would you vote?
I think I would probably like to stay in the EU.
Why?
Now. I really like that I can travel to other countries in Europe and feel safe and feel...
But just by us being in the EU, you see, I think a lot of young people get this quite mistaken. Europe is not the EU. We love Europe. You know, in fact, my last boyfriend was Italian. So it's not a matter of being Europe. I think you're like a lot of young people, if I may say so, that doesn't really know anything about it, do you?
No. And definitely not enough.
But you've got a little while for me to bend your ear over the next year, probably. But I think it's very important. I'll just say this. I remember years ago that I signed something for somebody. I was helping them out, a guarantor or something. And a solicitor said, never sign anything unless you know what you're signing. And I would say that this is the most important cross that you're ever going to put in your life. And you really need to understand what it means, whichever way you decide. And I hope that in the future that you'll listen to not only my podcast, but the other podcasts on radiofreeuk.org, because you will be enlightened. There's so much for you to find out for a start, even if I just quote from The Guardian, which is not our favourite paper, but anyway. It says that Britain's contribution to the EU has risen by 2.7 billion, quadrupling in 5 years. Now, when we talked about money before, imagine all the money that we would have if we didn't have to pay our membership every day, which is approximately 55 million, probably more by now. Imagine what we could do for all these people in hospices, the schools, hospitals, nurses, police. You see, I believe the reason why I would vote no to the EU is because we can govern our own country. We can travel to Europe. That doesn't stop us. We used to travel. We didn't have to be a member of the European Union. Money, as we've discovered in this conversation, everything comes back to money. And you might not realize this now, but of course the media and all these people want us to stay in the EU because guess what? We pay a lot of money to it. We're net contributors, so they're quite happy for that. Anyway, I'll finish on that note and say it's been really great talking to you. I wish you well in the future. I'm sure that you're really going to get on because I don't think I've ever seen you without a smiley, welcoming face. So, Prim, I think you're going to go a long way.
Thank you.
And thank you
for having me.
Okay, bye then.
Bye.